Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, it's Anne Nelson, your host for today's show. I'm very excited to have as a guest today Tim Klingner. Tim is a senior financial advisor with the Axis Investment Centre here in Townsville. What I find interesting about Tim is that he is only young, but he's already a seasoned investor. He got in early and has done the hard yards. Tim has his own successful investment plan for the stock market, and he is well on the way to creating his financial wealth for his future. And he now enjoys helping others do the same. So welcome to the show, Tim Klingner.
Thank you for having me, Anne.
So to start with, Tim, can you tell us how you got started in the investing world, a bit about your background and what happened to you that changed your career?
Mine was probably a non-conventional entering into the financial services industry. I started my interest in the share market when I was in high school. The Australian Stock Exchange website, ASX, they give you a fictitious $50,000 for you to invest over a four-month time frame, and you buy and you sell and you track your portfolio performance, and that really piqued my interest. And then I continued to play that game even when it wasn't compulsory at high school, and as soon as I could, I had my own brokerage account started up. I joined the Australian Army as a general service officer when I finished high school, and later became a Chinook helicopter pilot with the Australian Army. Now, while I was doing that, I still maintained a share portfolio and continued to build it and put my extra money into the stock market, as I found it really is a great builder of wealth. And while I was in the Army, I was fortunate enough to be able to study, and I completed a Bachelor of Business Administration with a finance major. And I initially started that just for selfish reasons, because I wanted to improve my own knowledge. I'd been used to studying to be a helicopter pilot, once I achieved that, I had some time off where I wasn't studying, and I just felt the desire to study again and to study something of great interest. And initially, I didn't think that I would use it to get into the financial services industry as quickly as I did, but it was a very natural progression. And then I happened to shatter my ankle water skiing while I was in the Army, which led to the end of my piloting career. I was able to use my degree and my passion for the share market to forge a new career, which is going amazingly well. And I really enjoy it, working at Axis Investment Centre, where we really, really pride ourselves in our knowledge of the Australian share market.
So I know you've been investing in the stock market for a while now, but how long did it take you to get successful? Were you always trading the same way?
I think everyone, when they enter the stock market, they like to think they know what they're doing. And that's exactly what I thought. I like to think that I knew what I was doing. Oh, I've found the longer that I'm in the stock market, the more you realize that you'll never stop learning. And initially, when I'm a young teenager and I've read as much as I possibly could, and I know that buy something low and the theory is sell it higher, there's a whole lot more to it. And really completing my degree and learning how to read the financial statements of these companies, which was be about a good 6 years after my first purchase in the share market, that I really became focused, or I found an area that resonated with me that I was able to focus on, that I'm able to generate a consistent, profitable return, and having a clear set of rules where there's only one strategy that you follow and not changing rules as you're going, I've found is absolutely key. because when initially investing in the share market, well, I found there was a lot of emotion involved. And once that emotion is removed and it becomes a business transaction. So any buying or selling, it's very much a business purchase. It's not so much an emotional decision that I like this company because it does something that's really nice for something or something else. It's analyzing that business and buying it based on its merit, what it's done in the past and what I expect it to do in the future. And if it disappoints, not hesitating to sell. It's very much a business transaction for me now.
What help have you had, Tim? And who has influenced you on your investor journey?
There's a local person in Townsville who's been investing in the share market much longer than what I have. And when I met him and his group of friends, I saw exactly what he was doing and how he treated the share market. And I like to think that I emulate that fairly similarly. And that really was the defining point in my investing career. Because prior to what I do now, which is essentially in finding a growth company and buying it and hoping to hold it for as long as possible, be it 5 years, 2 years, 1 year or 6 months, ideally 5 years is perfect. I tried various methods, whereas buying things for short term, even intraday, which I found was far too stressful, and you really weren't taking as much notice of finding a good company. You could miss the overall big picture.
What type of investor do you call yourself, Tim? I know we're all different and different ages, so we're at different stages of our life.
Yes, I quite possibly am. And I know some older people that do a similar strategy to me, but I also know some older people that don't do a similar strategy to me. So I personally don't place an emphasis at all on dividend yield for my portfolio. My portfolio, I'm very much interested in capital appreciation, and the share portfolio that I've built, I don't need that income or that money. That's extra money that I was able to put aside and put into a share portfolio that's able to grow. And given that I'm 30 at the moment, I haven't got any plans of retiring anytime soon. But what I've found is that money doesn't bring happiness, it just brings options. So by building my wealth that's not inside superannuation, also build my superannuation as well, but building it away from superannuation, all that does is give me options so that if I wanted to retire earlier, then perhaps that's something that I could do. Or if some sort of an emergency happened where I was unable to work due to a disability or an illness, then I've built up this big safety net that can help. So I enjoy investing not because I'm greedy and I want to buy flash cars. I'm quite happy driving what I'm driving, but just like to have the options. And then I've also got three young daughters. So a measure of my success will be how successful my children are. So I'm very keen on teaching them how to stand on their own feet and build their own wealth away from just having to work for all their lives. Multiple sources of income is a very, very powerful thing. So one source of income is for a person my age is going to work, and another source is building up wealth in a different manner. And I'd like my daughters to be able to do the same thing. So a positive example from me is hopefully going to translate to them.
Tim, you've mentioned superannuation, and for those overseas listeners who may not know what that term means, can you explain it, please?
So superannuation is an Australian mandated savings vehicle. So in Australia, when we go to work, our employers are mandated to deposit 9.5% of our salary into this account, and it can be a self-managed super fund where you make the investment decisions yourself, or it can be by someone else, so like a fund manager. It cannot be accessed until someone's 60 in Australia. So it's a good long-term wealth-building vehicle, and it's also taxed very favourably. It's only taxed at 15% when you're building it up. And when a person turns 60 and they meet a few conditions and the balances are at certain levels, they can access a pension, so an income from it, in a tax-free, and the earnings that support that become tax-free. the laws have recently changed where the maximum pension value is only $1.6 million, but it's still a very attractive thing. That's superannuation for Australia, and I think it is a very good system. I like to build my wealth away from superannuation as well, so that if I wanted to access my wealth, I don't have to wait until I'm 60. I'll have it available to me now.
Yes, we can't touch this money, this nest egg, until we turn 60. And then again, we always wonder if the government is going to change the rules before we even get to 60 and perhaps make it older before we can touch this money.
No, there's always those little issues. I generally just like to not worry too much about what's going on and just plan for what's legislated currently. But again, that's why I also like to build my wealth in outside of superannuation in my own name. So unfortunately, I pay a bit higher tax because of that, but it does give me options and gives me freedom.
What do you pay attention to now, Tim? What makes you look at a company? What do you look for?
Yes, look, I like to find a company that's got a sound balance sheet. And what I mean by that is that its debt is not crippling. So I don't like to have debt on a company greater than what its equity is. I like a debt to equity ratio less than one. But I also found that cash flow is very important. So some companies, they might have negative operating cash flow. So they'll go out and they'll buy a product, and then they'll process it and treat it or turn it into something else, and they'll sell it. And the money that they're receiving is not as much as what they're spending, or they're not able to sell as much as they were planning on, or they're buying too much inventory, and it might cause their cash flow to go negative. And I've found in those situations, it's a far riskier investment. So I'd prefer, I insist that a company must have positive cash flow. Also like to have a company that's obviously making money. Positive cash flow indicates that they're going to be making money, but I like their earnings per share to be positive, and I like their earnings per share to be growing. The earnings they make one year, I'd like it to increase the next year and then the year after and year after that. So I like 15% earnings per share growth. I like the return on assets and the return on equity also to be growing and to be positive. What's difficult to measure is management. So how sound their management is, but sometimes it's easy to see, sometimes it's not as easy to see. And I've just found that if I find a company that can meet the criteria of just being a sound business, and I like to equate it to running a household. I wouldn't want to invest in a household where there's a lot of credit card debt, big mortgages, and the people are living paycheck to paycheck. I'd much rather invest in a household that doesn't have credit card debt, it's got a mortgage under control, and they're saving money. And you can equate a company to a household on very simple terms. And if you can't see it like that, well, then I'm not prepared to invest. So a fine, healthy company, and then obviously the market has to like it, and that's affected by the share price.
After you looked at the fundamentals and you're happy with the company, is that when you look at the charts?
Yeah, then I look at the chart, and I don't get too wound up with the chart. So I'm not a big technical analyst. So looking at charts and trying to find patterns and various things like head and shoulders and hanging men and shooting stars that I hear people talk about, I'm more interested in the overall trend on a weekly time frame. That the weekly trend over a 30 week time frame is trending up. Certainly not trending down. If it starts trending down, I'm not interested. Despite how good the fundamentals of the company are, I just will not have one part in that company if the 30-week moving average starts trending down or the price is trading below the 30-week moving average. I've just found that's a good indicator of a company that's going to go down in value. I'm more inclined when I buy to set a stop loss so that despite how good the fundamental data is on a company, sometimes the price will fall. And if I know beforehand that I've got a line in the sand where I'm going to say, all right, my timing was wrong or something's not right with this company, I'm going to sell and I'm going to move on, well, then I've got a predetermined risk that I will exit on rather than letting the price go down and then holding for a couple of years and hoping that it will come up, because sometimes it just does not come back.
What other indicators do you use when you are looking for stocks to invest in?
I also look at the overall market. I only invest in the Australian market. I don't invest directly in international markets at all, as I understand the Australian market. So I also look at the All Ordinaries and see where the overall market is overall. It's quite difficult to make money when the All Ordinaries is in a bear market and going down, particularly if you're only going long, so buying shares to sell later. So I do look for that, but I very much do a bottom-up approach. So I start at the companies and move up rather than starting at the macro level, so looking at what might be affecting the economy. I prefer to find a healthy company and then moving up. I've found that good, strong, healthy companies will often just sing to their own music. They'll just continue to go, providing there's demand for their service and product, despite the overall market being a bit choppy or moving sideways or even heading down.
You are trying to find a company while it's still growing, while it's still young.
Yes, absolutely. Finding a good, healthy company, it's nice to find it before it becomes super popular, and certainly not a mature company. All companies will go through a bit of a life cycle. They'll have a new product that the market hasn't, so the market being consumers or other companies, they haven't seen before or they haven't delivered as well. Then this company that's got this new product will continue to deliver it, and hopefully the demand for that product will continue to grow. And then eventually that company will become, the market will become saturated. They won't be able to grow anymore because everyone that's got their product has got their product. Well, they've got the same amount of buyers each year, and then their growth just stops. And that's about when I don't want to hold the company anymore. An example that I often use is Telstra. Now, this is by no means a recommendation to buy or to sell Telstra, but Telstra is a company that it's obviously a very familiar company to Australian listeners, but for listeners overseas, it's our national telecommunications provider. Oh, there's a number, but it's the largest one. They've got mobile phones, home phones, broadband, and various mobile services. But every customer that's with Telstra is probably with Telstra. And for every customer they gain, they're probably going to lose an equal customer. So they've reached market saturation. I can't see how they could innovate and come up with a brand new product to generate their earnings growth. They do pay a nice dividend, and I know people that hold it in their portfolio for the dividend yield, but it doesn't meet my criteria for an innovative company that's growing their earnings and growing their revenue year on year.
There's all sorts of different investing strategies out there. How do you know which one would be the best one for you?
Look, the first thing that I think a person needs to quantify is why they're becoming an investor. If the reason why is they want more freedom, they don't want to be stuck to a computer screen, or they don't want to be working, well, then I think they need to take a longer-term approach, similar to what I do, where I don't need to be staring at a computer screen all day. I can get out and about and do things and take a break if I wanted to. Obviously, I think my method is the superior method, but there are millions of ways to make money. There's a fantastic resource in Australia, Colin Nicholson. He's been in the Australian share market for many years, and he's got a fantastic website. It doesn't cost very much. I think it's about $60 per year. And he outlines exactly what he does. I don't invest the same way as Colin, but I do invest in a similar manner. But that's a nice way for a person in the Australian share market to start. Obviously, also I mentioned how I started with the ASX website. The Australian Stock Exchange website has got a number of free courses, well, heaps of free courses, and it can from simple what is a share right through to advanced options strategies and other derivative strategies. And they also have that share market game where you have a fictitious $50,000 and you can invest it over a four-month time frame and see how you go. That's a fantastic way to get started, because then you can actually see what it's like when money's in the market and it doesn't always go up. Sometimes it goes down. And then obviously starting out with your own funds, but doing it in a sensible manner. So rather than using a lot of borrowed money, just using some money that a person's saved up, reading a few books. Some really William O'Neill's How to Make Money in Stocks is a great book. It is an American book, but it's great nonetheless. And getting started, that really is key. And then that's doing it in a similar manner to what I do. But if a real pure hands-off approach is just buying an index fund, if someone doesn't want to be getting down in the weeds and looking at companies like I really enjoy it, is buying an index fund can be sound also. And Warren Buffett advocates that also.
How do we find these emerging companies? When's a good time to look? Where should we be looking to find them?
Well, at the moment, it's a great time for this question because at the moment in Australia, it's reporting season is on. So Australian companies report to the market twice per annum. And all through August, most companies are going to be outlining their results. So this is a great time to find new stocks. So checking out the reports. I also like to find companies that are making a new high in the last year, so a 52-week high, because good companies will go up in price. So I have a look at that list each day. And if I'm not familiar with the company on that list, I'll have a quick read about it. I'll check it out. So that way, rather than looking at every single company on the market, my eyes are adjusted to the ones that are going up in price, and they're the ones that I want to know about. And at the moment, with reporting season, all the companies are going to lay bare their earnings, and we're going to see who's been good and who hasn't been so good. So the new good ones will start finding their ways into my portfolio, and the ones that haven't been so good might find their way out of my portfolio.
What programs do you use to help you make your decisions?
I subscribe to Stock Doctor, which is an Australian fundamental analysis program, but it's not essential. That's a luxury. I didn't always subscribe to Stock Doctor because they essentially just do the ratios on the balance sheet so I don't have to. But I've also, all the person really needs to go to is the ASX website and dig up the reports on the company and read the financial statements. I also made up an Excel spreadsheet calculator where I enter in the data from the balance sheets, and then it'd calculate some ratios for me. So that's just as good as Stock Doctor. It's just a little more time consuming. So that's why I'm happy to pay the money and use Stock Doctor. From a chart perspective, where I look at the charts, again, there's a free resource on the ASX website, but I do subscribe to a tradingview.com. And it's nice and cheap. It works out to be about $10 per month on the subscription plan that I've got. And that gives all the technical analysis that I need. I remember years ago, I used to subscribe to Metastock for the charting aspect, and that would cost thousands of dollars each year by the time you bought Metastock and then paid for the data. So it's access to the share market has become so very cheap and very accessible to everyone, which makes me very happy. So TradingView, if someone wants the technical analysis, and the ASX website will give everything for the fundamental analysis. Stock Doctor is a real luxury.
How do you help people now, Tim?
So now at Access, essentially people that don't want to be doing the research themselves or don't want to be making the investment decisions themselves, I'll do that. So I'll recommend a company to a person and recommend not so much to the company, but the plan on how to manage that company. So that's from the initial buy decision and why I think that's a buy to where a stop loss should be placed, that it might be 10% below the buy price or wherever a technical point says that it should be. Then managing that trade as it moves into profit, raising the stop loss up, or if we buy it and it doesn't move into profit and it goes down, well, then I'm the person on the phone that says, hey, remember we bought this company and we said the stop loss was going to be X price. I'm calling you now because it's at a stop loss and my recommendation is to sell it, because I've found with people that are getting started in the share market, the selling at a loss early is the hardest thing that they seem to find. I don't have an issue with it at all anymore. So to have someone that says, hey, it's time to get out, I've found to be quite powerful, because if people don't get out, we don't know what's going to happen the next day. It could go down further, which then they're obviously very glad they got out. And if they didn't get out, they'd be wishing they didn't. But then conversely, the price could turn around and go back up. And if they did get out, well, then they might be a bit disappointed. But I'm never disappointed. I'm happy that we followed our rules. So that's what I do now. So focusing on building everyone's wealth, which is only one small aspect, and then also move from the transition from work to retirement. But it does depend on the individual person as to what kind of companies that would go into their portfolio. So growth companies are not right for everyone. So depending on the person as to the types of portfolios that I'll put together for them.
How do people get in touch with you?
Well, the easiest way is to pick up the telephone. They can call me directly at Access, which is 07-4771-6089, or they can send me an email. My email is tim.klinger, and that's K-L-I-N for November, G for Golf, N for November, E for Echo, R for Romeo, tim.klinger at Axis, A-X for X-ray, I-S. invest.com.au or on our website, www.accessinvest.com.au. So I can be reached in any of those three methods. And if people want to pop in, I'm more than happy for it.
Thanks for being on the show today, Tim. It's been great hearing your story and how you have turned your passion for share investing into a career.
Thank you, Anne. Thanks for having me. I enjoy helping people now. I've found the share market to be a great wealth generator. It really is. It can be a life-changing vehicle. So if it can help other people, I'm happy.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.